My name is Optimus Prime, and this is NYR DNA Podcast. Sam needs to put the cube in my chest, and Zabenajad needs to score 5v5. Breakneck, roll out! Thank you, Optimus Prime, for that outstanding introduction. Like OP said, this is NYR DNA Podcast. We share the same DNA. I'm Greatneck. I'm here with the professor and the engineer. We're going to talk about some stuff today, as we usually do. We got the trade deadline coming up. We got the Rangers. What a February they had. 10-1. We're going to talk about that. You know we're going to talk about that. But what's your name again? Professor, what do we have on the agenda?
I'm still trying to get over that introduction by Optimus Prime. I can't believe we were able to get him to do that.
Yes.
Pretty impressive. I just hope that the cube was in his chest, because we do need Zibanejad to score 5v5.
Maybe we need to put the cube in Zibanejad's chest.
Yeah, they should put something in his chest. It's good to be back. This is a little ditty we're going to do tonight. Talk about the Rangers over the last month, where they're at, how we're feeling about where they're going, and couple of things that have come up over the past week. And of course, as Greatneck in the studio said, the trade deadline coming up very, very, very soon. That should be interesting. Engineer is here pressing the buttons and moving the dials on
no
that
sign of the
board. How you doing, Engineer?
I'm doing good. I think I'd be a lot happier, or maybe a little joyful, if the comedian was here with us tonight. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it.
And he can't make us laugh.
I'm sad. Now he's going to make me laugh.
It's a very. You know, it's not going to be many laughs, because how can you laugh without the comedian? But
it's unfortunate.
It's going to be a somber one. We decided to forge ahead, even though the comedian couldn't be here.
Tragic. It's tragic.
He's
it's
always a tragedy. In spirit. Yes. Yes, it
we
is.
We try to have as much DNA as possible.
Yeah, we feel like we're letting, you know, the listeners down when the DNA count.
Yeah,
know.
When we're not spreading our DNA everywhere.
Yeah, great neck. This is the only, as far as we know, the only podcast.
As far as we know.
Before or after in history, it's the only podcast between fathers, sons, cousins, brothers, sisters.
Your mom,
you have, you know, name it. As long as the DNA is attached, the only podcast dedicated to talking about the New York Rangers, and we're proud to bring it to you as frequently as we can. So, with that in mind,
let's open it up. Let's open it up.
Let's open it up.
Can I open it up? I think I have an idea.
Engineer, go ahead.
So, I think we always talk about how the Rangers are playing. You know, when we get on the podcast, that's kind of the first thing we say. Like, let's talk about how they're playing recently, how we feel, what that means for the future. And I'm, you know, I'm a very reflective man. So let's reflect on February, a really, really strong February from the Rangers. And since we're in this state of reflection, let's go back to the last podcast where we were questioning the Rangers' ability to keep, or maybe not keep up their play from the first couple months of the season. And we were questioning if it was a fluke or not. What was the fluke? So has that question been answered with this February and their play as of late? Let's open it up.
Neck, you want to jump in there?
Sure. Yeah, I feel I'm not completely sold on them, but I do feel a lot better about it, knowing that Shesterkin has found his game and how much of this team relies on the goalie. So part of me wants to say this is how they are, and it's a very real – listen, if you make the playoffs, there's always a possibility you're going to win the cup. There's a very real possibility they can go far, but this guy would have to be – I feel he'd have to be unconscious for them to do any damage in the postseason.
Can I ask a follow-up? You said if – what did you say the first thing you said? Like, you're not sold on them? What would it take for them by the end of the regular season for you to be sold?
Oh, by the end of the regular season, we're talking about tightening up on defense. Like, they're terrible off the rush, like we always say, and Valiquette says. Their zone coverage seems to be minimal, as the multiple people are left unguarded in the slot.
and 5v5 play has gotten better, I will say, last month. It definitely has, because you don't go 10-1 without having decent 5v5 play. But I don't know, just still hasn't spoke to me. And a lot of their wins in that win streak
doesn't grab you.
Yeah, they didn't move me. They didn't grab me. They went to overtime with the Blackhawks. They let the Islanders. They were down to the Islanders 4-1, and I get they come back. They came back. That was amazing. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. But still, they don't. These are wins that aren't moving me that much. I want to be moved.
Dad or professor, what would move you?
Oh, okay.
I'm asking what? I'm asking professor.
Oh, I thought you said the professor will move you. Oh.
No, I'm saying
I will move you with this wonderful story.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I know this is going to sound insane to some folks, to the many millions of people listening, because they'll say, you know, you're never happy, but I think Great Neck said it. To me, the biggest takeaway from the last month has been the return of Igor, which, of course, we were all hoping for. We talked about him at length in the last podcast, and we had some questions about, you know, mental toughness, all that. And like I said, I'm glad he seems to be playing like the goalie he can be, and that's big. Great Neck says anything can happen if you get into the playoffs. Very true. But here's where I'm still concerned. Let's try and keep it real 24/7. That schedule in January wasn't the toughest schedule, I think, right? Am I wrong?
Are you talking about February or January? February.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, February. That's why you folks look so confused. It wasn't like and that's not their fault. You can only play who you play. But I keep that in mind, because I think that a lot of those, and I'm glad they won a lot of games and now they're back, right? But I also feel that a lot of the same concerns are there. And you know, that's the 5v5 play, Great Knicks, they got a little better, but their number one line still, I mean, you know, Mika hasn't scored a 5v5 goal since before Christmas. So these are major concerns that have not been addressed. And I think Ranger fans, I think, well, eventually he's going to start just going crazy. And maybe he will. But I don't know. I mean, so far the evidence is not too strong that he's just going to be a 5v5 demon. So that's a big question mark, 5v5. I still think they give up a ton of high danger chances, and they have been lately. They've been giving up a ton of shots. And again, these aren't against all playoff teams they were playing either. And the defense against the rush, I don't think it's that much better. So these are all, to me, again, foundational issues, which they may have been winning, and I'm glad they were. But, you know, we'll see going forward. I still think that this team is built around Igor being Superman. And, you know, if that can win you a cup, then sign me up. I'm all for it. But I just don't think it's the greatest recipe. And then there's, as I mentioned, their number one center. That is just, I mean, let's keep it real, boys. The dude's invisible. Now, I know. Okay, I know. He's now we're going to try and transform him into a checking center. That's great. He is very good 200-foot player. But he's unfortunately being paid. He's the number one center, and you can't have a number one center that doesn't score 5v5
goals. Months without a 5v5.
Yeah. And even for the season, I forget how many 5v5 goals he has. The stats are alarming. So, you know, it's beyond now, though. It's just a little slump. It's from day one. So I appreciate that he kills penalties. I appreciate that he plays good defense, but you know, if he was a third line center, I would be like all for it, but the dude's got to score. And he's not, and it's not good. He's not even scoring on the power play anymore, which is another issue. But anyway, so
you ain't ready for Mika March, Dad. March gonna hit you.
I'm waiting for Mika March to start. I thought it was gonna start last night, but it didn't.
Right. Oh yeah. By the way, we're coming off of I forgot what the score was, but a shootout loss to Toronto.
Right. It's March 3rd.
Right.
Sunday night.
Right. That was gonna be another thing mentioned. So they're starting now. Tough part of the schedule, and I have to admit I was a little distracted with the game last night, so I can't really get a you know, I can't give you my full take on it.
Professor was getting blasted.
No. So I will say, though, it looked like from the, some of the stats I saw, they gave up a ton. I and everyone's going to say, but Toronto's really good and they score a lot. I know. Like, these are the teams you're going to play in the playoffs, right? So the fact that they score a lot, I don't think it's an excuse. Oh, they gave up a ton of high danger chances. Well, what do you expect them to do? Well, no, I mean, like, that's not an excuse to me. They gave up a ton of high danger chances.
I don't like that excuse.
Dominated the second period.
But, like, the excuse, like, well, Toronto's really good. I go, like, all right, but aren't the Rangers supposed to really be really good? I thought they're supposed to be cup contenders. Supposed to shut that team down.
Yeah, and maybe, like, shutting them down is a big, big ask, but.
Of course.
But I don't know what the final, maybe you, one of you guys could look it up in terms of high danger chances for and against, but I think they were on the short end of that again.
They always are.
So, yeah, they have been lately, and it feels like every game the other team gets more high danger chances than them lately.
So what explains that then? No, it's March 3rd now. It clearly cannot be. I don't know. It clearly cannot be that they're still learning Laviolette's system.
No, it's not.
Thing that was talked about 3 months ago. Now, so it can't be that. So what is it then? They're not constructed to play his system. They don't buy into his system. They don't have the players. I don't know, but they give up a lot of high danger chances against Columbus, against almost every team they play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that kind of ties into what I was going to say earlier. You know, at least we have Igor right now, it seems. And I know that's like a qualm we have, and it's always, that seems to be what it is, like the last 15 years. It's just live or die by the goalie.
Yeah. But,
I mean, if they are ever going to tighten up in their own end defensively or in front of their net, like, they have like at least three not very reliable defensemen dressing right now. And I mean, at least we have a guy backing up in front of the net. Because, I mean, it was always going to be him, you know? Like, by the playoffs, it was never like I doubted he was going to be the starting goalie in the playoffs, and I never didn't want him to succeed. It was just like, at some points of the season, Jonathan Quick gave you a better chance to win.
Yeah, so, and Igor had to sort some stuff out, listen, clearly.
And it was always going to be Igor. In the playoffs, right. It was going to be Igor, and you wanted him to find his game before the playoffs, and he has, it seems, right?
Yeah.
So at least if they are going to tighten up defensively, great, because then you have Igor, classic Igor, you know, you hope. And then, like, at least, I don't know, it's a positive that Igor has found his game. I just don't want to take that as a negative because they rely on the goalie so much. But I think that's not really on him, you know? It's an overall good thing that he's playing much
better. I'm not blaming him at all.
If they're going to tighten up or not.
He wasn't playing well, it was one thing, but yeah, he can only play as well as he's playing now, but it wouldn't be like, oh, they're going to get knocked out in the first round because if Igor's playing great, I'm not going to blame the goalie. Like, yeah, I mean, what bothers me is that some of these foundational issues, they just haven't seemed to have been addressed. Like, they haven't gotten better. Like, and that concerns
me. I think, honestly, the two biggest glaring issues for me right now, it seems like the last five games or so, the most two glaring issues have been Zibanejad's lack of 5v5 scoring and or like driving play offensive. Like when he's playing, it's almost as if there's like nothing happens, you know? Well, when he's on the ice, it's like their first line does nothing. They're neutralized. Well, so that's one of my.
He doesn't even get shots on goal anymore.
I know. So I don't know what the. He has to shoot more. I think he has to shoot the hell out of the puck. Shoot himself out of whatever he's in.
He had that shootout attempt last night. He absolutely nipped it. Like
he doesn't shoot.
Beautiful shot, but he doesn't do that during the game.
Shootouts are different, but
you look at
anyway.
I think he got his first shot like the third period last night, and like the game against Columbus, same thing. Like he's barely getting shots on goal.
I was going to say, like, this ties into the other one because I think their other most glaring issue or player is Keandre Miller in the defensive end. He, like, last night especially, I think, was his worst game. That was one of his worst games against the Leafs. He did not look like he knew what he was doing at all at really any point inside of his own end.
And I think that just ties in. Like, they don't score 5v5 except when Panarin's on with Lauf and Trocheck. And then in their own end, it's like a clusterfuck when, oops, sorry, when Trouba and Miller are on. I just, those are the two most glaring things for me the last 5-6 games. So it seems like we all have our doubts going into the playoffs, but
I have my doubts because I know people, some people may say, were they 10-1? What do you want? And it's like,
exactly, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay.
But to a degree, they're right, though.
Yes.
Right.
To a degree, they are right, but also to a degree, exactly. Like, the goal is not to go 10-1 during the regular season. The goal is against, to go to the cup. And
against a somewhat weak part of the schedule. Again, not their fault, but reality.
And, well, they have a really tough part of the schedule now, so we'll see what they're made of at this point in the year.
Yeah, right. We got the Panthers next. Panthers are one of the top teams in the league.
Well, that's going to be an interesting game, right?
And Panthers are the most annoying team to play against.
Yeah, they're super aggressive. They're fast. No wonder they made it to the cup last season.
They're full of pests. Like, that team is probably one of my favorites to win the cup right now. They are.
So let me ask you a question. Again, it's March 3rd. I know it's not June. But let's say, just a scenario. If the Rangers come out and play a really strong game, let's say the high danger chances for and against are somewhat equal and not like 20-20, not a shootout, but they play a solid defensive game, right? And let's say it's a tie, or let's say the Rangers win, you know, a 3-2 game. Would that, I'm asking myself this question too, would that change my view of the team? And I think it would, because at least it would tell me this team has it in them to play that style. The question for me would be, why can't they do it more often? And would they be able to do it for potentially 4 rounds in the playoffs that might go 6 or 7 games? That would be the thing that concerns me, because they have, you know, but it would make me feel better at the same time. So I'm asking you guys the same question. At the same time, let's say the Rangers come out tomorrow and the Panthers kind of pile drive them. You know, they put up 18 high danger chances against the Rangers. Igor plays great, but they lose, you know, 4-2 or something. But they're clearly not really in the game too much. It was Igor. Should we be concerned?
But I thought you wanted to know if the Rangers win. What do you want to know?
I want to know both.
Okay.
Does that game matter to you, how it goes tomorrow? Not to say, oh, I'm going to bet all my money on the Rangers, you know, getting knocked out in the first round if they lose tomorrow. But do you think that game matters in terms of how they measure up against the Panthers tomorrow?
I think anytime you play a top opponent, it always matters.
All right. So what about if the Rangers play a solid defensive game? Are we more bought in then? Great Neck, are you more bought in if the Rangers play a solid defensive game?
Of course, I'm more bought in every time they do. Like, but I remember they played the second time they played the Bruins. I think that was a 2-1 game. They won in overtime. And I had the same feeling. I'm like, this team can play like that. They can shut a team down for 60 minutes and, you know, take the game at the, they went down in that game. Then they Trocheck tied it up on the power play. I'm not completely bought in because I've seen it before. And then, you know,
it's episodic. It's
yeah. It fluctuates.
Right. And, you know, that's my concern about them. Like, why March 3rd, haven't we seen more consistency? Why haven't they gotten better against the rush? Is the coach? I don't think it's necessarily the coaching. So is it the players? Why would I have confidence that once the first game of the playoffs start, they're just going to flip a switch?
So to answer you, I'm not completely bought in if they do come out and play a good game tomorrow. But, you know, I'm much more willing.
I'm hoping for it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, engineer, if the Rangers come out and, I mean, you two watched the game last night more closely than I did. Yes or no? Were the Rangers? Would you say it was an even game?
I would say it was for the most part even, but like you said before, it was a bit of a shootout, like high danger chances. I think more for the Leafs. But the Rangers had their fair share. Jimmy Vesey had a
ball today. Yeah.
And listen, at the end, it comes down to the game was close.
I was going to say the same. I'd say it was pretty much even.
Really?
For the most part. I think, you know, there's always ebbs and flows to games, power plays, penalty kills, whatever. I do think they got outchanced. But I don't think there were many like low danger chances in that game. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that that's a style that they can play. I don't think they have the firepower to play that style and win in the playoffs. But we'll see tomorrow. I think if the ice is a little tilted again, this will all just tell me that they just don't have.
Oh, I'd put more emphasis on if they get, you know, kind of hemmed in, like when they used to play Carolina a couple years ago, like just felt like there's
when they'd get manhandled.
Yeah, they just get manhandled, like they got nothing going ever, and just, you know, got thrown around. If it's like that, or maybe even slightly better, I'd put more emphasis on that than if they won, because I've seen them play really well, but also, you know, come back down to earth. Why don't they just play at that level all the time? So I kind of feel the same. I just think a loss would be worse in my mind than a win would be better. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Trocheck Jr. Said something about in the second period last night that I forget whatever stat it was. I don't know if it was Corsi, whatever. That possession was like 70% for Toronto in the second period.
Yeah. That's in the second period?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Toronto had a big second period. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. We shall see. I'm really, really excited to watch this game tomorrow.
It's going to be a interesting part of the season, the stretch of games where they're playing a bunch of good teams. And I guess it'll be a good benchmark by March, you know, 15th, by like March Madness. We'll see where the Rangers are in terms of the playoffs, in terms of, you know, who they stack up against. So it'll be an interesting month to watch.
I think the March Madness.
But another thing that's happening in March that we should talk about is the trade deadline, which is in less than a week,
excellent,
5 days.
Excellent, excellent segue, engineer.
Thank you.
So there's, I think the Rangers, correct me if I'm wrong, they're tomorrow night, Florida, and then they play Thursday?
I think so.
They're playing Tampa Bay, I think. Wednesday or Thursday, is that who they have?
A tough schedule,
probably. No, they do.
That makes sense. So they got Florida on Monday,
right?
Tomorrow,
and then
good.
They play Monday, and then
the NHL app sucks.
Yeah, I know. They play Monday, and they don't play until like Saturday.
Really? I thought they had two games before the deadline.
Why would they wait? They don't play Saturday.
They play Monday, and then they play Saturday. They play the Blues,
and that's after the deadline.
I hope I'm not looking at something wrong.
That is after the deadline.
Yeah, deadline's
Friday. All right. Well,
there you go. I thought they had two games, but maybe I was thinking of the
who schedules these games?
I was thinking.
Well, fine. So the Panthers is the last game they have before the trade deadline. It should be a weird game, I guess. Tomorrow we'll have a lot of mixed feelings, I'm sure, when it's done, especially about the trade deadline. But
so,
since it's Friday. Let's.
Somebody threw a pen at me at one of the walking by the studio. The reason I brought that up is because I thought they had two games, but I was thinking of the Saturday. I was thinking of yesterday and then Florida before the deadline. So it's going to be interesting the next 2 weeks, I think, because obviously they're going to make moves at the deadline in order to try and improve the team. And then that'll be the team they go to. They go into the playoffs with. I shouldn't look ahead, and we're gonna get back to the deadline. But I'm just curious, like if this team makes moves, what if this team just gets hosed for the next 2 weeks against some of these good teams? Like, I don't know.
I think hosed.
Well, that's just such a. That's like you know.
I know. I'm going.
Such a what?
It's a what if?
It's such a what if? Like
well, because I feel. I don't think there are any moves they can make.
What if Rudy walks into Madison Square Garden, takes a dookie in the middle of the ice? Like,
listen.
I think it's hard to mess this trade deadline up.
I don't think there are many moves they can make that will improve some of these foundational flaws. There are moves they can make that can improve the team. We all know that, You know, they need a winger.
I think there's moves they can make to mask the issues a little bit.
Okay, but I'm not sure how it's going to improve defense against the rush. I don't know how it's going to improve drastically 5v5 play. They're hoping that another magical winger could come in and lift up their center that can't do anything by himself, apparently, unless he has a perfect winger. It's just...
Well, would you rather them not do anything then?
No. Well, I hope he doesn't do anything stupid. Yeah, because I don't want him to. Wow. I think he's going to trade Kako, and I don't want to see Kako go. But
well,
let's go. What do we think is going to happen at the deadline?
Do you really think he's going to trade Kako?
Yes,
Luca. I'm not going to lie. I really hope he doesn't. And I, like a week ago, was like, no, they're not going to trade Kako. No way. And I've been seeing more and more things on Twitter that they're going to trade like Kako, Goudreau, and like a pick for Henrik and Vitrano. And I'm like going to lose my mind if they do that. That's unbelievable. I don't understand giving up. You're gonna take Vetrano, who's 29 and at the peak of his career, versus Kako's 22.
Well, because like, Vetrano is going to unlock he's gonna unlock Kreider and Zibanejad. Don't you know that?
Listen, Jack? I understand.
He's gonna put the cube in the chest.
Kreider's gonna put the cube in Zibanejad's chest.
Yeah, by hugging him.
Yeah. They'll embrace and then they turn into cars.
Not to divert the conversation, but for the life of me, why hasn't this coach, like the others, at least tried something different with those two guys? Why is this a sacred bond that can never be broken? Try something for 15 games.
More and more I'm so happy people are catching on. Zibanejad, Kreider, they haven't been working.
Yeah, a lot of people have been catching
on. They're hot ass together. They can't do anything 5v5. Even on the power play, they don't do much. God damn.
And well, but why can't we, in a long season, a coach that, I mean, who am I to question this coach? He won a Stanley Cup. He's most wins, whatever the hell. How doesn't he try it for 15 games? What is the fear of trying something?
Maybe they're waiting until after the deadline. Maybe they're waiting until closer to the playoffs. I don't know.
Were you doing it before the deadline? Give you a better idea,
Dad? What's your name?
All right.
Professor, who would you put? Who would you put on that first line?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. There's a you mean with Kreider and Zibanejad?
I wouldn't touch that second line. Yeah, so you'd have
to put someone from the
third and fourth line on your first.
I'd put Kreider on the third line.
And who would you put on the first?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. If we can't touch the second line.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons why.
I don't buy it.
Who would you move up? Who would you move up? Zibanejad, centering, Kako, and who? You have Cooley.
Yeah, try something. Try it.
Yeah, sure.
Try it. What could hurt from trying it? Full tilt.
That's true.
You remember when they broke up one practice, they had different power play units, and then they did it in the game for like 30 seconds and then went back. Like,
hey,
that's not trying it.
I'm sorry.
You got to be committed to trying something.
I know we were just talking about Kreider and Zibanejad, and you know we were talking about the trade deadline. We're supposed to be talking about the trade deadline, but Lafreniere not being on the first power play unit, Chris Kreider.
Oh, that's criminal.
Lafreniere, for like the last 10 games, has probably been their second or third best forward.
That's like, criminal. It really is.
You're
messing this kid up. I feel so terrible.
How is he not on the first power play unit? And I like Laviolette for the most part so far.
Okay.
I don't really like have too many issues. I mean, besides the ones we're talking about, I know we make it seem. But like, why isn't that? That's such a glaring thing for me. Chris Kreider doesn't score on the power play anymore, really, either. He tips once every like 5 games now. He's doing it like every game. He had 50 goals. He missed an open goddamn rebound last night.
True.
Open net.
True.
You remember the last podcast? I said
Lauf had a 3.9.
All 5v5, I think.
You know, yeah, all 5v5.
All 5v5. Unbelievable.
And this kid is not even on the power play. What? And you know what? When he is on the power play, he's dangerous. He's a good – the game-tying goal against the Islanders in the outdoor game, Lauf made a great pass to Fox, who then made a nice pass to Zibanejad.
He's got some of the best vision on the team, no doubt.
There's no reason.
What does he have to do to earn a spot on the first
time? I don't know.
I'll tell you what he has to do. They have to wait for either Panarin to retire, and I'm not saying he should be off.
Dad took off the hat.
Zibanejad has to retire. Kreider is they're talking about putting his jersey in the rafters
while he's still playing for the team.
Yeah, I would say this: they should, but they should only put it in like every 15 games. Put his jersey up there in the rafters to reflect how he plays on the ice.
You know,
put it someplace else and bring it back.
Let's go back to the deadline now. Yeah. Let's go back to the deadline. Let's
go back to the deadline.
I've seen a few things that I think are interesting for the Rangers, possibly, because I think one of the things they need most going into the playoffs is a third line center. At least for me, I think that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The last few years, 5 years, you can see how important the third line is in the playoffs. I think about the Lightning had the great third line with centered, I think, Yanni Gourde, right? He was the center of that line. Is Arturi Lehkonen in the center? He's a good third line player, And center is such an important position, especially on that third line in the playoffs. And I just think they need to upgrade from Brodzinski, who I like. I'm glad they have him on the extension. It's great. He's really good in that role that you can just call him up, right? Like someone gets hurt, boom, Johnny Brodzinski plays however many games. So I don't think they have a legit NHL third line center or NHL center. They don't have a legit NHL center. And I think that's a mistake going to playoffs. So I think at the deadline, apparently they had scouts at the Arizona Coyotes game. And I think their target was Nick Bjugstad, who has 16. He's having a career year. I think he's 30, 31, something like that. Pretty sure it'd be a rental. And he's six. He's a big guy. I'm pretty sure. And he's, bottom six center, big dude. He's having a career year, 30-something points. I don't know. I think it'd be an upgrade over Brodzinski. I don't know how many, really good third-line centers you're going to find right now. He seems like a decent one. Arizona probably would be willing to ship him, 30-year-old on that team. So that's one of the big ones I've seen. At the end of the day, I hope they don't trade Kako. If they trade Kako, I'll be very upset because I don't have a doubt in my mind that he can be a very useful player for the Rangers in whatever role. I know probably not what we hoped from him coming out of the juniors or whatever, but I think he's a very useful player and he can be an extremely useful player for them. So if they part ways with him, I'd be very upset, especially for Henrik and Vedrano.
Well, didn't he get taken off the first line again last night?
I don't know. I don't understand. The Kako with Zibanejad, it's really Zibanejad and Kreider, but
I know.
Whatever.
But he's the fall guy all the time.
Yeah, I don't get it. But
continue. I think they are if I know nothing about this, just a hunch. If they don't trade Kako, it will not be for lack of trying. It'll be because other teams didn't want to make the deal or whatever. But I think they are willing to trade. I hope I'm wrong, believe me, because I feel like you. And if you trade Kako, you've got to fill that void anyway. You need another forward, right? You get Vetrano, but you still got to replace Kako then.
What about
Jack, did you talk about Bjugstad?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What are some pieces that you, Luca, or what's your name?
Greatneck,
of course.
In the studio.
I forgot to.
Put some respect on it. Greatneck, do the Rangers have any pieces that you would, that you think are hands off, no one can even touch them in your mind? Do you think you'd be upset if certain pieces went? And I'm talking prospects, minor leagues,
roster. Oh, yeah. I think I speak with the whole Rangers. I think I speak with all Rangers fans when I say hands off Perot and Othman. If you touch those guys, I'm going to riot. But the Sikora. He can go. He can give her a first round. Sikora, Goudreau, I got no problem with. These seem to be the names that we're throwing around. Yeah, I have no problem if they win. Kako, don't trade Kako. I know he doesn't put up as many points as I'd like a second overall to put up. But really, watch him, watch his game, what he does in the offensive zone and the defensive zone. But in the offensive zone, he's the best player on that first line. Well.
More effective than Kreider.
The competition isn't much, but his offensive zone possession is what matters. When he plays his game, he knows what's up. When he's puck on the stick, players on my back type game, hold the puck in the offensive zone, get the possession, it's important. And it's little things that he does. Again, I'm saying I don't think he's a second overall player. Of course, I'd want him to be better, but he does do important things, and I don't want him to go.
But if you look at the stat, expected H per 60, his stat is much lower than Kreider. Expected hugs per 60 minutes, much lower than Mr. Cuddles. So I don't know. That's a big,
Did we explain Mr. Cuddles in the last podcast? I honestly
believe we did, yeah, because I titled it that, I think.
Oh, okay. Right, Dad was crying. I remember.
I was. Yeah, I mean, we'll see in 4 days or so what will happen at the deadline. You guys,
how do we feel about what?
You say you guys have been big Chris Drury fans.
Bigger than you.
That I'm anti Chris Drury. I'm just saying you guys have been really praised. So we'll see. I mean,
yes,
we'll see what he does.
Well, what do you think?
I'm very curious.
What do you think about Vetrano coming home?
Home.
I know. Ignore what they would send back. Do you think that sticking him on with Kreider and Zibanejad, because we have no sign that they're ever going to be split up, do you think that does anything? Because it worked 2 years ago. How did we feel about that?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. I can't tell the future. There's a part of me that I don't know how much worse like Mika's non-scoring can be. So, I mean, I think there's only room to get better. Like, can he get much worse? Can he never score a 5v5 goal? That seems hard to believe. So he may score a few more. And if Vetrano comes along and Mika scores a few 5v5 goals, everyone's going to say, see, they needed the winger to unlock it. But it's like the dude hasn't scored one in like 2 months or over 2 months. So, of course, he's going to score some more. So I don't know if it's necessarily because of Vetrano, but we'll see. I have no clue. I mean, I think that's clearly what they're banking on, that if they can get Frank Vetrano, he's going to solve whatever that has been ailing Kreider and Zibanejad 5v5. I don't know. I still don't think that helps their rush defense. I still don't think that helps their, you know, high danger chances they give up. So, but who knows? We'll see. I hope I'm wrong.
But what can you do during the trade deadline that'll help your rush defense?
Well, that's what I preface my remarks with. I don't know if there's much they can do.
Right. That's all coaching.
That doesn't mean they shouldn't do anything. What I'm saying is I don't see how the foundational stuff gets fixed.
Okay, right. But leaving the foundational stuff out, would Vetrano make the team better?
Better?
On paper?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, of all the, of
it
all
depends
the,
what you have to give up. If you give up Kako, maybe it's not right, an overall.
Well, right. I'm saying
if, net in, positive.
Looking at it in a vacuum, would Vetrano be the without breaking up their second line, right? Would Vetrano be the best player that would have played wing on Kreider and Zibanejad's line this year? Probably. So I guess he would make it better. But you know, you have to give up something, and is it worth it long term to give up a big price for that? I don't know. I mean, he is signed through next year, so you'd have him for next year too. It's not like he's a full rental, like it's, you know, he's gone. Not that I'm advocating trading Kako because you have Vetrano for next year, but I don't know. We'll see. Should be interesting.
I know Luca didn't want this to go on for so long, so I want to.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to talk. I think you mentioned this before we started, but. What's his name? Rempe.
Yeah, do we?
Empire State Building.
The two giants.
That's yeah, Sam Palmer. Ed Strome and Rempe.
Yeah. Do you think? Oh, let's. I mean, how could you not like what Edstrom and Rempe have brought? I saw that check he delivered last night. He almost ground that guy into dust. I forget the dude he hit in the corner.
Oh, yeah, Sheldon Keefe, Maple Leafs coach, was he was pressed about that. He's like, he left his.
What did he say?
He made contact with the head.
Yeah. Dirty. I saw Lucas said like said a quote to me of what he said, and it like wasn't grammatically correct. Like it was something.
Yeah, Sheldon Keefe should worry about winning some playoff series, and then.
Yeah, I mean he's 1-1.
Yeah, but I mean he crushed listen, that guy.
All the people on Twitter saying it was dirty were all just Toronto people. They were like, yeah, he left his feet, a clear charge. One, if you slow anything down to 0.25 speed, whatever. In real time, he skated three strides, glided.
He's a giant. I mean, three strides is a lot of space, man.
And he went over forward. Like, that's what happens. Your forward momentum comes over. His feet probably left the ground. Oh, my God, it's a charge? Are you kidding me? Yeah. I see Ryan
Listen, Ryan Reeves used to throw that hit every game, I remember, for the Rangers, and there was never a penalty. But now it's a penalty because Rempe did it, and he fights everybody.
Well, I hope the kid stays healthy. And do you think – I don't think there's any chance in hell that they're on the playoff roster or play in the playoffs, but
– I think Edstrom more than Rempe, obviously. Yeah. Rempe I don't think has a chance to play, but I think, you know – however long he plays in the NHL this season, he's pretty much done his part.
I tell you,
I don't know. Although you don't know what happens in the playoffs. You could see maybe a series that getting chippy, getting a little, you know, by game six or seven, maybe they want a big guy in there. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, look, the kid's put up a couple of points. He's had some.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Rempe can skate.
Goes to the net.
He's in front of the net. He's an absolute giant.
I know.
I think they'd give it to Edstrom before Rempe. I think he's just all around a little bit better. But Rempe is, you know, he's 21. We'll see. Exactly. We can see what he brings to the team. So.
Yeah.
So far, it's been an interesting thing. It's been a very interesting thing. I mean, so far it's been all, you know, within the game and stuff like that. So it's. I don't know. It's just I've always wanted the Rangers to have a player like that, and so hopefully he sticks around. I guess we'll see. But
have they ever had a player like that in our lifetime that could just like win every single fight?
I don't know if they ever had like a heavyweight like that. I remember fighting.
They had some guys even in when you guys
Tortorella years. I remember.
Yeah, what's his name? Fulton Orr, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't much in terms of like, I still don't know what Rempe is going to turn out to be in terms of like a player, but yeah. I mean, those guys weren't really, you know, they were fourth line guys, you know, they were basically had one role.
They had,
I remember the Tortorella teams they had.
Wait, they had, the Rangers, I think they had John Scott for a little bit.
They did.
In that 2011 year.
Yeah. I was watching the line brawl, or I guess when they started the game against the Devils in like 2011 or whatever, that Tortorella game, and they both started their fourth lines.
Yeah,
and it was Prust was fighting.
Jesus. Oh yeah.
Brendan Prust fought Stu Bickle, I think.
Bickle, forgot about
it. And somebody else, I forget. But yeah, like, I mean, I just don't. None of them were. Like Rempe in the sense just that Rempe's a goddamn giant. Like those guys were big, but he's
21.
He's 6'7", 240. Like he's huge. He's taller and heavier than Reeves. And that's like that fight last night wasn't even like they were throwing some haymakers and some of them were connecting, right? But like it was almost just like they were both so strong and they were just canceling each other out. Like he is huge. I don't think I've seen a player on the Rangers like that. Like just a monster like that.
Like you never want to see obviously anyone get hurt.
Of course,
I shouldn't laugh. But when he hit that guy in the corner last night, the guy just kind of crumpled like an accordion.
Yeah, he went down. I think they said he had a head injury, but
no, I know. Yeah. I'm not making fun of that. He clearly wasn't trying to injure the guy.
The Leafs just got him.
It's not about that. I'm just saying. But to your point, he's a huge human being on stage,
giant person.
What about that hit on Bastion against the Devils? Oh yeah. I want to make it clear. I said none of the games during the win streak really moved me. The game
the Devils won.
Against the Devils did. I forgot to mention that. That was an awesome game.
That was a complete
Rempe. Yeah. And they played him right. Not to get into this whole thing, but they played him right. They said, this team's fast. We're just going to beat the shit out of them.
And also, they can't. The Devils don't have the pushback. Like, they don't have the player. Like, they were like the Rangers were 3 years ago.
Yes. Rempe hit Bastion. I swear to God, it looked like that dude was crying.
I swear to God, his nose was bleeding.
This guy is, I hope he sticks around.
Rempe's a monster, bro.
We'll see. It was fun, you know, while it lasted. We'll see how long it lasts. But clearly, you know, it's always a little exciting when trade deadline comes around because you never know. It's almost like Christmas.
You never know what's going to happen.
Two years ago, they acquired Hop and Vetrano, and they turned out to be huge pieces on that conference final run. A year ago, they acquired Kane and Tarasenko, and they got eliminated in the first round. You never know what you're going to get.
Mets got Cespedes that one year, and they went to the World Series.
And he popped off.
That went like 2 minutes before the deadline, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So you never know.
It's it should time. Be interesting. It should be interesting.
And then we got March Madness right after.
That's very true. Hopefully Drury's in his office, Billy beaning it up.
Yeah, for Luka and his Huskies. You're going to win it all again. Luka and your Huskies.
I'm talking about Chris Drury, but yeah, I was the only one that had UConn winning it at all last year. I manifested that.
When does that start?
Probably like mid-March.
I even started.
It's over, I think.
Time's up.
I missed it.
Got to get that going, Professor.
Damn.
I get going.
Yeah, we'll see.
You didn't do it last year, right?
I don't remember. I think I did. I just sucked.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
We hit all our bullet points.
I think, yeah, it was more like we just wanted to come in, give our fans a quick shot of where we're at. And I think after the deadline, then we really need to kind of go do a deep dive of our, you know.
Well, I think we'll see what the Rangers are made of after the deadline. After they acquire, after they sell, and, you know, we get closer to the playoffs and they play a tougher schedule. So,
well, after the deadline, they got Blues, Devils, Hurricanes, Lightning, Penguins, Islanders, Jets, Bruins, Panthers, Flyers, Avalanche, Coyotes, Jeez. Penguins, Devils, Red Wings, Canadians, Islanders, Flyers. Oh, I'm into April, but you see, see where it goes.
A lot of division teams.
Whenever the
a lot of division teams
when the Rangers suck, when the Rangers suck, the podcast is so much more entertaining.
It is.
And when they're like really, really good, like those October, November months, it's like all like happy go lucky. I don't know. I think we're in the middle here, maybe a little bit leaning towards the good side.
Well, we got our eyes on the big picture. We got our eyes on the
Very true.
We got our eyes on the prize. I don't think a lot of people do. They care about hugs per 60. I care about cups per 80 whatever years. So
no, I hear you. Exactly right. And once we start getting closer to the playoffs, then the pod will start to really ramp it up, because then we have some of those, you know, where we go live, and those get
we're gonna go live from the Canuck,
live from the Canuck.
We're gonna start a food fight.
Yeah. We should see if Rempe is not on the playoff roster, when we do our pod live from the Canuck,
like that.
See if. Well, I'm assuming he won't be. If he's not, I said. We'll get him to come to the Canuck and do the podcast with us.
He'll probably be dressed in the press box.
Yeah.
I think he would do the podcast.
Oh, okay. Right. He gets a text during the game. Oh, my God, I'm in. I got to go.
Yeah.
Guys, they invited me to the Canuck. I'm going to go watch the boys.
All right, Jeff. Somebody sign us off.
Did Optimus Prime sign us on?
Optimus Prime, is he back? Is he back?
Yes, Optimus. Optimus, get in here. Get in here.
I thought he left.
I'm Optimus Prime, and I'm going to sign off this podcast.
Transforming Optimus Prime. I'm Optimus Prime, and this has been NYR DNA. We share the same DNA. NYR DNA, roll out.